It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss. Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.
The Lightning is on the street. The Lightning is in your mailboxes today. And it's Thursday, which means it's Lightning Radio. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, sir. Happy Thursday in December to you.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Hope you had a great
Thanksgiving. To all in the community.
That's right. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving break.
Had a wonderful, fantastic Thanksgiving break. Didn't have to travel. Had folks travel to us.
There you go.
It was fabulous turkey bird and fixings.
Fantastic. All right, let's get to the news, Bill, for this week's Lightning. Let's start with our front page story. Bob Staton, Mayor Staton, hardworking mayor of Flat Rock, is giving up the gavel, and you've got a really great a great story on him here, a feature.
Yeah, it is. It's a long profile, based mostly on an interview in the last few days with Mayor Robert V. Bob Staton, a seventh generation native of Henderson County, which we trace back, or sixth generation native, I guess he is. He said that his three children are then seventh generation natives of Henderson County, and it's a fun story to bring people up that might not be real familiar with the village of Flat Rock, although we talk a lot about village of Flat Rock politics lately in the way that we never have before. Bob Staton goes back a total of 18 years, I think it is, including the last 12 as mayor. He started out, as we trace in the story, in Flat Rock. You know, they have a way kind of recruiting. There's generally kind of a clique of professional leaders. There's a lot of retired CEOs, a lawyer in the case of Mayor Bob, that get together in a room, maybe not smoke-filled, and try to encourage other accomplished people to run the town. They all take a salary of a few thousand dollars,
which they all give
immediately
back.
Give it right back to the treasury of the Flat Rock Village Council, which is one thing I neglected. I hate to say I neglected to put in this story that he's done all this work for free. And when I say all this work, we cover how he. I asked him how many billable hours all of his legal work might be over the 12 years he's been mayor. And he said, oh, I would have no idea. But he said he goes to the office generally, has been going to the office generally by around 9 in the morning and stay until 5 or after 5.
And I'm really glad you make that point, Bill, because a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand that as a lawyer, he's done a lot of the legal work for the village over his tenure on the council and as a mayor. Absolutely free.
Most of the fairly simple, and maybe not as simple, such as drawing up some documents maybe for the right-of-way acquisition or easements for the sidewalks that they did a few years ago. Even resolutions, proclamations, he writes those up, and lots of other kind of legal work. If it's something really big, like spending $2.5 million or something around there to buy the 60-acre park at Flat Rock, the old golf course. That you have to run by the village attorney, which is Sharon Alexander. And this, as we'll talk later in the show, something like when they're a defendant in this campaign sign lawsuit. That was in federal court, which I don't think had practiced as much in federal court anyway, even though his law career was based in Washington, D.C. and suburban northern Virginia. But it goes about, and it's a fun story. Because if people know Bob Staton, he's going to answer questions, as we say in here, usually with some context and some background and an anecdote and ultimately something that makes himself the butt of a joke. So it's
that's Bob. That's Mayor Bob.
that's Bob Staton. So shout out to Bob Staton, who does end his time as mayor of Flat Rock a week from today, when the new Flat Rock Village Council is sworn in, and we'll talk some more about village politics as I say, and when longtime Mayor Pro Tem Nick Weedman is sworn in as the new mayor of Flat Rock. And he'll be he's another very accomplished executive from Monsanto, has lived in Flat Rock a long time and served on the board a long time. And he too, will be hardworking. It's a working job to be mayor of Flat Rock, and all, as I say, for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can certainly vouch for Bob Staton as well for some of his legal work. When I was chair of our United Way, he came onto our board and just really grabbed a whole lot of that legal stuff and just started cleaning some stuff up and did a ton of work. And again, saved the United Way lots of money as well. So just really can vouch for that work. And with all due respect to the new incoming mayor, Bob will always be Mayor Bob to me. I don't know if I'll ever be able to call him anything other than Mayor Bob. But that's, you know, that's just part of it.
It is. And yeah, so it's a fun story. Yeah, people can enjoy Get Your Lightning and read about Mayor Bob.
Fantastic. Hey, let's stay in the village if we can. Something that you have a story about, and that is the recent meeting that they had with the village regarding the sign ordinance. What's going on with that, Bill?
Well, it continues to create a kerfuffle.
Very nice word of the day. Very nice use.
Just when they think they are trying to settle, and the council voted by 3-2, actually, or 4-2, maybe it was. It was 3-2 because John Dockendorf was not there. Anyway, the council voted by a narrow majority to amend its sign ordinance in a way that's supposed to be content neutral and respond to this lawsuit that has been one of the things, not the main thing, but the sub-main thing in the council politics and Village of Flat Rock politics, and certainly in the 2019 election, and that is the lawsuit brought by now council member-elect Ann Coletta and the Cultural Landscape Group, which accused successfully the village of having a sign ordinance that was content-based and thus unconstitutional. And really, without much of a fight, the village council and its lawyers in federal court, its Asheville lawyers, conceded that point and said, okay, we'll sit down and agree to a rewrite that y'all, the plaintiffs, agree is okay. Okay, and we can live with, even though, as you mentioned in the council meeting, there was a great deal of opposition and pushback expressed to this resolution, because as it stands now, there are really two things, or I'll say three. It actually doubles the size. I think it's from 4 to 8? I think it's from 4 to 8 square feet. It actually doubles the size of the sign.
That are allowed.
That are allowed, that express. And think not so much what this really focuses on is there was fairly widespread agreement that an election season, a campaign season, is a finite period of time that everyone agrees is over on election day. And no one has ever said, although since this sign really doesn't regulate any opinion sign at all, I don't think it doesn't have much enforcement in it, so somebody could leave a campaign sign up. But this is more like, as we have a picture of, save this corner, keep big rigs out. And this is at the corner of Highland Lake Road and Greenville Highway. And save our scenic byways. It's a sign like that that is not arguably, although these had to do with that road project and the vote up or down on whether Village Council would endorse it. You could have something like, let's say you could say keep Flat Rock green. And that could mean don't have any more road widenings. Let's not do any greenways. Let's not cut down any trees ever, no matter what. If you had a sign like that, or just some general thing, I support the USA. You could put all of those up and leave them up, and you could have an unlimited number. So the way it stands now, even the even the plaintiffs who brought the lawsuit over the First Amendment grounds say it's gone too far in deregulating the signs, because you could have these large signs of an unlimited number in your yard or on your property forever. So the story explains that this, even in the effort, as I say, to resolve this and put it behind them, it's not behind them. It created this kerfuffle where now there probably is going to be a vote either in the very first meeting or very quickly to amend it yet again and say, well, we didn't mean you could do all this stuff forever. And in an unlimited way, there will be some limitations. And that comes from Ann Coletta and a couple of other cultural landscape group people.
Okay.
Read the story, and
yeah, that's where I get a little confused.
Drill down to what it's what was intended to be resolved. Suffice it to say, as often happens, is not yet resolved.
Not yet resolved. So that's where the status is right now. It's not yet resolved.
It is not.
Okay. All right. Staying sort of in Flat Rock, but not quite in Flat Rock. Let's talk about the roundabout, Bill. The roundabout still not finished.
It is not.
Of course, we're talking about the roundabout there at Irkwood, Shepherd, and
right.
Greenville
it's
Highway.
It's not in Flat Rock, but it's a major, major issue
for
Flat Rock, because it is the major straight direct link connecting Hendersonville and Flat Rock. So everybody's been going on the marked detour on Highland Lake Road, on Brooklyn Avenue, perhaps, or on many other options for detours, such as West Blue Ridge Road or Rutledge and Irkwood and all that. And they've been doing that since July 17, and yeah. They have been promised by the NCDOT. The NCDOT has promised since before July 17 that it would reopen on October 17, missed that deadline and said, although I'm not sure why, because the thing was completely torn up on that date. We went out there, as we do pretty often, to look at it. They said, oh, no, it'll be a week later, and they were nowhere near finished. And then the next thing was, this story talks all about the sewer line situation that they had to redo. And so then it became end of November. By the end of November, and we were out there making a picture again on December 1st, which was a Sunday, and then we reached the NC, and it wasn't open, reached NCDOT, and they are now saying, it still looks overly optimistic to me, they're saying by the end of next week they might get it open. It will not look at all like, if they do, it will not look at all like a finished product. It will look like it'll be a roundabout you can drive through, and it's a big wide radius of a circle. It's a bigger roundabout, I think, than some people might have expected, and that's chiefly because of the way they had to realign.
Exactly.
They had to realign Irkwood and Shepherd to align Irkwood and Shepherd. And it does that very nicely. I mean, people are going to like it, I think, in terms of driving through it and safety and ease of getting through what is or has been a hazardous intersection. But people aesthetically are not going to like it, and visually they're going to say, well, this sure isn't quite done yet. So one, will it be done by late next week? That's what they say. We'll have to wait and see. And two, will there be some flag men and flag women out there between now and next summer? The answer to that is certainly yes, because it won't. There'd be a lot
still
of other
be doing
parts of it that aren't done yet.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the contractor is punished for every day that they go over certain deadlines, correct?
Well, we've been beating our head against the wall and trying to – yes, that is true. But we do have that question from Friends of the Lightning that call us up and send us emails and communicate with us to ask us about these liquidated damages, I need Mayor Bob and Sharon Alexander and four or five more lawyers, I think, to cut through the verbiage and all the many asterisks that would apply to something like, quote, liquidated damages, not just some things you might expect, such as long-term weather, snowstorms, rainstorms, whatever, but the business about the sewer line. In other words, the contractor's going to come in there and say, well, that wasn't our fault. And so we'll see. But, yeah, we'll bird dog the situation of the liquidated damages and at some point try to get that drop-dead lead pipe final number.
Okay. All right. We're going to touch on some more politics when we get back. You are listening to Lightning Thursday here on WTZQ Radio with editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, Bill Moss.
Fletcher Park Inn, an independent Christian retirement community located on 450 beautiful acres across from Park Ridge Hospital, is the best-kept secret in Hendersonville for retirement living. Not a nursing home, Fletcher Park Inn residents enjoy independent living in spacious villas and apartments. Fletcher Park Inn offers everything you need to remain independent, alcohol and tobacco free, this Christian retirement community welcomes you to visit in person or online at FletcherParkInn.com and see what all the fuss is about. Fletcher Park Inn, now that's retirement living.
Branding is one of the single most important aspects of your business, and it's not just a logo and a tagline. You need a brand voice that raises awareness while staying true to your values and goals. A brand that grabs the attention of customers and makes them want to choose you over your competitors. You need Lindsay Simpson of LS Creative. If your business or nonprofit organization needs to be more visible, recognizable, and memorable, visit lscreative.studio and click Let's Chat. Lindsay Simpson of LS Creative. You need her.
Arden Woods Retirement Community.
Beautifully decorated for the holidays. Arden Woods Retirement Community.
Festive holiday gatherings. Arden Woods Retirement Community.
Easy access to the Asheville Airport for relatives traveling in or for residents traveling out. Arden Woods Retirement Community.
Your home for the holidays and every season in between. Arden Woods Retirement Community.
It just feels right. Schedule a tour by calling 684-7330 or learn more online at ardenwoodsretire.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
And we are back with Lightning Thursdays here on the Q as we get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. But it's just on the streets and in your mailboxes today, and as we do every Thursday on the radio. All right, Bill, let's stay in politics here for just a moment. We'll get out of Flat Rock specifically. Charlie Messer is announcing that he is going to file to continue his run as a county commissioner. He's been a county commissioner, what, 2000?
He has indeed since 2000, I think it is. And you know what this story and the season we're in right now, Mark, made me think of?
What's that?
It's not the Yule season.
Yeah.
Four seasons politics. We went from the filing for municipal seats in July to the interviews and the very good Hendersonville Lightning voter guide, remember that,
in
October, to an election in November, and then something that has not happened in my memory because now are now early March primary.
Yes.
And we go from filing again to the 2020 elections in the run-up that will be right on us right after New Year's Day to a spring primary, if there are, partisan contests for some of these seats, we'll jump to what usually is our most intense political season anyway, because it's because of the heavy dominance of the Republican Party. So if you get in a county commission or some of these legislative seats, a partisan fight will be right in it, like I say, right after New Year's Day for the March 3rd primary.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people don't realize that it's moved up. It used to be in May, and now it's in March this year.
Yeah, and even the last thing that people might have been very interested in or vaguely aware of or not have paid any attention to the last part of that, the congressional elections, that now has been resolved to where the members of Congress are also filing for election or reelection, and they too will be on the ballot either in the March primary or in the election, which is almost a year away in November.
So this primary election move or to March, is that a statewide thing?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's a state thing.
That was done by the Republican legislature to give North Carolina more power in the presidential primaries. And now, as it turned out, the Republicans, generally in most states, and North Carolina is one of them, they're trying to rig it to where there really won't even be a Republican primary or not much of one because they're also strongly behind President Trump. But nevertheless, there will be some very hotly contested primaries. And remember, this is president, governor, lieutenant governor, all the council of state races, such as labor commissioner, attorney general, insurance commissioner, Secretary of State, and then Congress, and then here in Henderson County, finally, to get the answer to your question, Board of County Commissioners, and Charlie Messer of Charlie's on the Creek, the convenience store.
Yeah.
There in Fletcher, started out as a Fletcher Planning Board member. Let me see when that was. In 1993, worked his way up to serve on the Fletcher Town Council before he ran successfully in 2000 for the Board of Commissioners, and a long-term Republican incumbent wants to go for a sixth term. Charlie's very active in all the issues. He's got great memory and context of just about everything that comes up. And the greatest thing about Charlie Messer as a politician close to the people is his job there.
Yeah.
If you ever go into Charlie's on the Creek, you go to a store. It's just fun to watch Charlie. As I say, he knows his customers. A lot of them are in there all the time. If he doesn't always know their name, he always knows their brand of cigarette or chew.
Yeah.
Well, and he'll get it out and he'll say Marlboro Light, and they don't have to ask. They don't have to name the brand.
And it does put him in a unique position because he's nearly every day he's in front of his constituents.
He's a sounding board.
So he's able to hear them. You're not calling. You're not writing letters. You're not emailing. He's right there, and you can walk in and talk to him.
Yeah, exactly right. Whether he wants to or not, whether it's let's say Balfour Parkway, whether it's some big development in Fletcher, it's going to be a little more Fletcher. Hoopers Creek, Edneyville, Mills Gap area, North Henderson based. He's not going to hear probably as much about the roundabout down in South Hendersonville, Flat Rock.
Right.
But he is definitely gonna have his finger on the pulse of the people, and it's the real working people. I mean, it might be some young moms and dads. It'd be a lot of contractors. It'd be a lot of landscapers. It'd be a lot of salesmen traveling from point A to point B. So he knows what's going on in the mind and the heart of the public for sure.
All right, so he is filing, and if opposed, we'll deal with that in March. But if not, then we'll.
Yeah, and then we'll see. You know, we have had in recent election cycles. Well, the last one, maybe the last two, more Democrats show up or sign up and run for county commission seats. Again, not successfully so far, but I look for that because we are in such a partisan environment that I think you very well are likely to have some opposition in November, which hasn't always happened. And I think for sure there'll be enough interest to where we could have some primaries too. We hope so.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about some other folks that that have filed or possibilities of filing.
Yeah, the Lightning, we made a picture of Michael Absher because that's kind of a traditional picture of the first one to sign up, and that was that was at noon on Monday at the Henderson County Board of Elections, and we showed new election director Karen Hebb signing Michael in as he runs for re-election to a second term to the school board. I'll tell you what else we know about that is Rick Wood has announced his retirement. Mary Louise Korn is another long-term incumbent that has not yet filed. And we understand probably won't. Blair Craven is pretty likely to, I think. And we have another name that we've seen, and we don't have much information on her, Florence Albaugh, of Etowah has signed up for the Henderson County School Board, so we'll continue to bird dog that. That goes on for, I think, until a week from tomorrow. As we said, we got Charlie Messer for the Board of Commissioners District 2. Grady Hawkins has announced he is not running for another term, but David Hill, a surveyor, lives in Zirconia, grew up in Big Hungry, a longtime native. He's a Hill. That's generally a local name here. David Hill, Republican, has signed up for that District 5 Grady Hawkins seat. Well, that's one where I expect we might see some more. And
yeah.
Messers, too, possibly.
Sure.
The appointed clerk of Superior Court, Tyler Ray, just filed yesterday to run for the office. That's a little bit of an interesting wrinkle, too. He was filed, and, I mean, he was appointed, and now he has to run for the seat at the first available countywide election, which is next November, but that puts him out of cycle with the rest of the constitutional officers of Henderson County, such as sheriff and register of deeds, and the constitutional officers. So he'll run for not a 4-year term, but a 2-year term. So Tyler Ray will have to be he'll be on the ballot in November if he survives the primary, and he'll be on the ballot again in 2022. So that's interesting. That's the only one like that. That's why I point that out.
Okay.
If you see that again in 2 years, you don't. Why am I seeing this again?
You're right.
I just voted on this one. Chuck Edwards has already filed for reelection as our senator from Senate District 48, and so has Brian Caskey, Democratic member of the Mills River Town Council, who's challenging Chuck Edwards. And Jake Johnson has, of course, here's another appointment. Jake Johnson has filed for election to the seat he was appointed to, North Carolina House District 113, and a name that some political junkies like you and me might remember from a few years ago, Tim Moffitt, who was a Republican, stirred up a lot of dust in various ways in what I called trying to pass laws that would not let Asheville be Asheville. When he represented Asheville as a Republican in the State House, and he got beat because I think Asheville wanted to be Asheville for one thing. But he's now moved to the Bearwall area, and he's from Henderson County, to be fair. He's not a carpetbagger from Asheville, which people would not like. He's a graduate of West Henderson High School and has moved in fairly recent times, or had moved in fairly recent times, to Asheville. He has business there. But he has moved to the Bearwalla area of Henderson County and filed for House District 117, which is the seat that Chuck McGrady is going to vacate in his much-deserved and widely regretted in some ways retirement.
Yeah. Interesting political times. Let's talk about a little bit more. We've got some new folks being sworn in to the Hendersonville City Council tonight. Right, Bill?
We do. We talked about recent trends in a little bit more partisan, lots of partisanship, and maybe a little more partisan activity in our elections locally. But you know, another thing, one of the things people asked me about this Hendersonville City Council race, I said, you know, I just have a feeling, despite everything that Steve Carricker had done, that because there were three women, that two of them just might get on there, because 2018 showed it was a big year of the woman, and I said for women, and I said maybe that will happen again. And sure enough, it did. Now, don't take that as, well, they just got on there because I'm voting for women. These women worked the hardest, the ones that won, Jennifer Inslee and Lindsay Simpson, also happened to be, which is not accidental in politics, the ones that worked the hardest.
Yeah.
Did the most, put up the most signs, knocked on the most doors, distributed the most handbills, and so on. So we see them. What's that mean? We see them get sworn in tonight. We see the council flip from, for one thing, for though it's not, these aren't partisan seats, the fact of the matter is it flips from two Democrats and two, it flips to two Democrats and two Republicans and an unaffiliated in Jerry Smith, and it flips to female majority, which is kind of fun. Flat Rock is a good, strong female, not majority, but female oriented council with 3 out of 4 females, and now this will be 3-2 female with Mayor Vogt joined by Jennifer Hensley and Lindsay Simpson. sometime after 6 o'clock tonight.
And this harkens back to a story that was in the Lightning a few years ago, and it seems like the headline was, "Where are women in politics?" It was something like that. You talked about all the women that are managing and running so many of our nonprofits so successfully, and your question was, why aren't they more involved in politics? And here we go.
Yeah, and I think our question was, I can't remember if that was a story covering Four Seasons Politics, but more than once, in the editorial columns, the institutional voice of the Hendersonville Lightning has urged women to come out. And that's certainly not because of anything the Lightning said editorially, but organically and generally, atmospherically, culturally in our community, state, and nation, it's become a thing.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, let's talk about a few fun things real quick before we end Lightning Thursday today. E.R. Hare reading Capote's Christmas Memory. That's coming up. That's interesting.
It's the fruitcake story. You know the fruitcake
yes.
story. And I think this will be really fun. This is not just some schmo off the street deciding to try to read. What is it? Really, if people know the Truman Capote story, it's well known. But I hadn't heard about this story, his story, Christmas Memory, which was written, first published by Mademoiselle magazine in the late 1950s when Truman Capote was only 27 years old. And people know him as the author of Breakfast at Tiffany's, Other Voices, Other Rooms, The Grass Harp, and particularly In Cold Blood, the best-selling one of the first sort of novelized true crime stories, the best-selling novel or true crime novel and movie as well. But A Christmas Memory, I think, predates all, most if not all of that. And the reader of it is a native of North Carolina, and he is the son of Pat and the Reverend Earl Hare Sr., that people will remember as longtime minister, now retired, of First United Methodist Church. And Earl Hare, E.R., he goes by E.R. Hare. E.R. Hare Jr. he's been an actor. He's been in a couple of what he says in his own bio in some forgettable movies, but he's appeared on the daytime TV drama Days of Our Lives, and he has read A Christmas Memory many, many times. So look for that to take place Saturday, December 7th, twice at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock at night, and it's free, and it's at the Parish Hall. In the Wilderness Room of the Parish Hall of St. John in the Wilderness Episcopal Church there in Flat Rock. So you'll still have to go around the roundabout to get there, but that should be a fun thing. Check it out on 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock this coming Saturday.
And I just got a text from somebody that said he's actually going to be acting it out.
I'm glad you got that text. I said reading. That's interesting.
Yeah.
If he's got the whole thing memorized, I'll be very impressed. But it's really, it's a fun, I was going to read here. It's a fun story about Capote's time that he spent until age 10 living with this family of distant elderly cousins in a small town in rural Alabama. And the story focuses especially on his relationship with one of his cousins, Miss Sook Falk. So check that out if you want a little Christmas spirit.
Hey, something else fun, of course, the Lightning, always a foodie, always looking for more opportunities for food, and White Duck Taco is coming to 7th Avenue.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal because it's white. Do you know about White Duck Taco? I had to research it.
I had heard of it, and people were excited that it was coming.
Yeah, you talk to some people that get over to Asheville more often than I do and know what's going on in the food world over there, and they know about White Duck Taco because there's three of them over there in Asheville.
Yeah.
That's where it's based. There's one in Johnson City. There's one in Nashville, Tennessee. There's one in Johnson City and Nashville, Tennessee. There is one in Greenville, South Carolina, and they're very soon, sometime in the first quarter of 2020, will be one at in the historic 7th Avenue district of Hendersonville, North Carolina. So it's a big deal because it's a nice, little bit different restaurant. He says, do not confuse us with a Mexican restaurant.
Right.
We don't compete with them. We are not them. Just because we have taco in our name does not make us a Mexican restaurant. He says the fillings are international. You can read sides include chili, black beans, cut watermelon with mint. Doesn't sound like your typical Mexican shop. Gazpacho, dessert, Mexican chocolate pot de cream with pistachio. Pretty soon they're going to get into some big words that I don't know on their menu. But the biggest deal about it to me is that it's just really good, well-known, especially among millennials, restaurant there on 7th Avenue, which is one more big endorsement where people will vote with their feet, I think, to go to 7th Avenue. We got the craft beer there. Pretty well set up now with three microbreweries. Now we'll have, you want to get food. Maybe you don't want to do the food trucks, which are often at the microbreweries, but you can go to the White Duck Taco Shop.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that one. There is so much more in the Lightning, in this week's Lightning, including an incredibly rave review of the Flat Rock Playhouse Christmas show. Pick up the Lightning. You could read that and get your tickets to that show. Bill, if folks want to pick up their copy of the Lightning, how do they do that?
They can go all around to any of the 60 Lightning Orange news racks all around the county, or visit our dealer partners such as coffee shops and convenience stores, or a place like Publix supermarket. Or they can go on HendersonvilleLightning.com and they can join our all-access, digital access, plus a print issue for the same price of $59.99. Click on that red button that says subscribe, and that will walk you through how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans who read us online or get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, via U.S. mail, or they can call Jan at 698-0407, or they can come see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
Bill, number three of your top three Christmas songs coming up. Thanks for listening to Lightning Thursday here on theCUBE.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This and other episodes of Lightning Thursday are available via podcast at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. Lightning Thursday is brought to you weekly by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.